Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the microwave of free speech because microwaves heat things up fast, and things get heated up fast sometimes on RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage. How else can they send badly needed fundage, Jeremy?
They can mail their check or money order payable to RBN. Mail it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card numbers to Julie, and you can also donate by PayPal to keep free speech alive.
Okay, and Julie will take your money.
Always.
Yes. So this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show, and we spent part one pretty much just riffing on an article from RT, I think it was from RT, about former Russian president and current, effectively, national security advisor, Dmitry Medvedev. And he was saying, well, you know, even if Ukraine, even if Russia did use nukes in Ukraine, the West are they're too much of wussies. I'm using that word, wussy. They're wussies, and they're not going to respond. So whatever. I mean, come on, Harambee. So they're all out for Harambee. But whatever. So we had a discussion of that. Is there anything more that needs to be said?
I'm just going to read a few more paragraphs in the article where we left off last night. Medvedev made the comments as he discussed the hypothetical use of nuclear weapons by Russia on social media on Tuesday. He dismissed remarks by Western politicians who have been warning Moscow against using nukes as diaryric demagoguery. The conditions permitting the use of Russia's nuclear arsenal are stated plainly and publicly in the country's nuclear doctrine, according to Medvedev. Moscow says it will only use its most deadly weapons if it or one of its allies is attacked with weapons of mass destruction, or if its existence is at stake as a conventional conflict, in a conventional conflict. So taking that paragraph, I guess now that these areas in Ukraine are joining Russia and will be officially by the end of the week, you know, if NATO, as it has threatened to do, uses nukes in these areas, Russia will retaliate in kind. I think that's what he's saying.
Well, he's saying that. Now, you know, one other thing about the nuclear doctrine. So if Russia's existence or the existence of one of their allies is at stake, you know, we had 31 years ago, the predecessor to Russia, the Soviet Union, its existence was at stake, and it no longer exists. And if you listen to Vladimir Putin, was it in his recent address? He certainly talked about it in other formats. And I think it was included in his most recent address, stating that the West wants to dismember the Russian Federation. And the way the Soviet Union was dismembered, the way it worked out is, you know, it had, Russia was about 75% of the area, about 55% of the population. And then there are these 14 other, what were called Union Republics, one of which was Ukraine, you know, Estonia, Latvia, Belarus. You had 14 in all, 14 other Union Republics, and they all became independent countries. Now, if you look at, and I got out my Atlas that I bought the last time I was in the Soviet Union, which was obviously over 30 years ago. But I got out my Atlas. I was looking through my Atlas, and it's all in Cyrillic, and I don't read Cyrillic that well, but since, you know, the Cyrillic alphabet. But I was looking at Russia, the Russian what was called at the time, the Russian Soviet Federated Socialist Republic. And it had within it, I believe, 13 what they called autonomous republics, one of which is the Chechen Republic. Another is the Dagestan Republic, and I know that you've got an article from about Dagestan in the prep. And you know, you have other republics, the Buryat Republic, which is the homeland of Mongolians in southern Siberia. And so the idea that you could have the same thing happen all over again, where Russia is dismembered in all of these autonomous republics, some of which have had independence movements in the past, most notably the Chechen one. This is the type of thing that the Russian leadership is talking about. They're saying that this is the objective, not simply to overthrow the Russian government, but to break up Russia. And if this is what they think, that actually meets the criterion in their nuclear doctrine for using nuclear weapons. If they really believe that their existence as a state is at stake, that would warrant it. And so we're really getting into very, very dangerous territory. And, you know, for Russia, this is existential. They think their existence is at stake. They think Ukraine incorporated into NATO brings nuclear weapons potentially 5 minutes from Moscow. How are you going to react in 5 minutes? You got to make a really, really snap decision. Whereas to Americans, this isn't existential at all. People don't know where Ukraine is. They don't know what Ukraine is. They don't really care about it. They don't understand what this is really all about. It's just the current year thing. As the COVID hoax was, as the Black Lives Matter hoax was, you know, it's just the current thing. Nobody really cares about it. They'll go along with it as long as it's the only cost is the effort to put a Ukrainian flag on their Facebook posts. But they're not happy with the idea of paying extra for gasoline, let alone actually having their children die in this war. I don't know. Have I gone kind of far afield with? Did I answer your question? Have I gone too far afield?
No. So, you were one of the ones early on that called this shot, that this whole thing with Ukraine and the escalation against Russia and sanctions was to try to regime James Putin. But yes. In the process, the West and the Western populace have undergone tremendous suffering in higher yes. food and gas prices. And so, you know, is this going to regime change people in the West? We brought this up last night. So I think what I've found is that among conservatives, only the hardcore Trump voters were pro-Russian, like the people that were Trump back in 2015. You know, there were other conservatives that came on board the Trump train reluctantly later on. Those reluctant latecomers, Johnny-come-latelys, they were posting a lot of anti-Russian stuff early on in this Ukraine conflict. They were doing a lot of pro-Ukraine. Now they're not. This is not getting support from mainstream conservatives in the West. And so I think that, you know, the Jewish elite are weighing this out possibly. And that's why they're sort of upping the ante and, sort of going into overdrive. They're realizing that they're losing support. With the midterms coming up, also stuff that we covered a little bit last night, I don't want to rehash it. Just kind of bring it into view into what you've said, you know, about how these sanctions are really hurting the West, and it's not hurting Russia. And I think a lot of conservatives are now weighing out: do we really want nuclear war over this? And I think the answer is no. And I think this is one thing that Medvedev is bringing out in this article. Let me get more quote from him just to back up what I've said. From Medvedev in the RT article, I believe NATO would not intervene in the conflict in this scenario. The safety of Washington, London, Brussels is more important for the alliance than the fate of useless, perishing Ukraine, according to Medvedev. And that was in the context of a nuclear conflict. In other words, he's sort of saying like the West doesn't want to give up their main capitals that would be nuked. Should this go full force over the Ukraine? He doesn't think the West has the stomach for it. And I don't either. Not the people anyway.
No, that's exactly right. That people, I don't know. Of course, a lot of Americans don't even, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of Americans are so stupid they don't even know what nuclear war means, honestly. I hate to say that. I want to make a comment on something that you referred to. You said that the people who supported Trump as early as 2015 when he had first announced, these people were happy about his wanting to make friends with Russia. They were relatively pro-Russian. And the people who came on later and more begrudgingly aren't. And what I would say is that, and this is one of the problems with Trump, is because to a large extent he's kind of a follower. To a large extent he's kind of, well, kind of an egotist, of course. Is the people who came on later, these are people who will say, Hillary's the real Russian collusionist. You know, Russia meddled in our election to get Hillary elected. Trump is tougher on Russia than any. Well, and then you get Trump himself. You know, he winds up being tougher on Russia than anybody, and he starts bragging about that. And that's not what he was elected for. But the Johnny come latelys to his campaign or to his support, they've been successful in getting him to really modify his core stance. And you know, you had the same thing with Trump was in 2015. Trump wasn't just anti-illegal immigration. He was anti-legal immigration. He had released in 2016, right around the time of the convention, he had released a policy calling for an end to birthright citizenship and for restricting legal immigration. But, you know, once he becomes president, you know, the Johnny-come-latelys come in and say, oh, no, it's all about illegal immigration. He's for legal immigration. And then the next thing you know, at the State of the Union, he's saying, we want more immigrants than ever before. He's very easily manipulated. And you could make the same thing about, the black crime, for instance, the crime. And, you know, next thing you know, he's letting black crack dealers out of prison with whatever that the name of that act that Jared sold him. So I just wanted to make that observation.
Yeah, 2 points there, just in contrast, the contrast being between early Trump supporters and Johnny come lately conservatards that supported him reluctantly as he was brought to heel. 2 points of observation there. The early Trump supporters in 15 and 2016, when it was accused of Trump, oh, Putin got Trump elected, you know, Russia interfered, those supporters were saying, good, we're glad Putin did that. We support Russia and Putin for getting Trump in. whereas, like, the Johnny-come-lately supporters only came around once Trump was brought to heel and started coming sort of in more in line with mainstream conservative Republican politics. But even Johnny-come-latelys, like I mentioned, even they are not going all out on supporting Ukraine now. Even they are not anti-Russia in this. They're sort of just sitting back and seeing where it goes. And a lot of them have even said, I've witnessed it on social media posts, yeah, if Trump were in, that we wouldn't even be in this conflict to begin with. He would have negotiated a way out.
So, when you hear Trump say that and you hear other people say that, this wouldn't have happened with Trump in there. And Trump would say that a lot. But why wouldn't it have happened? Would it have not happened because Trump would have been reasonable in negotiations? Or is it because he's just so tough that they would never try this? You know, they're afraid of him because he's a tough guy. And the listener can interpret it either way. And it's really never specified. Right?
Yeah, I mean, think it's the same thing as Syria. If Clinton had been in power in 2017, we would have went full on war in Syria. But because Trump is legit anti-war, and I will give him that credit all day long, he only lobbed a few missiles over there and gave Ivanka a pony. And, you know, Russia ended up stabilizing Syria. And I think that at the end of the day, he is a legit anti-war a president, and I think that we would not have been into this. I think that he would have probably tried to do negotiations. And we would have had a, no, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm giving Trump too much credit.
I think it's really interesting because I would agree he's legit. He's not the most anti-war. He's not like a Tulsi Gabbard, but he is legit anti-war. And yet many of his supporters wouldn't even recognize that. To many of his supporters, he's a tough guy. Nobody would try anything on him because he would be so quick to go to war.
So let me end before all of you anti-Trumpers. I mean, I'm not giving Trump a total break here. I mean, he did assassinate, who was the Iranian general? Soleimani. I mean, that was Soleimani. Horrible. Yeah, that was murder. You know, he did lob missiles into Syria. He did do the, sign the bill that let black criminals out. I'm not giving Trump a break. I'm just saying that we would be in a better position with him now than we are, you know, with the Biden and the Victoria Nuland, in power. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we got to think of a good term for Victoria Nuland. F the EU.
The Jewish.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's something I'd probably agree with her on. F the EU. Maybe there is common ground after all. Okay. That's only the first article. We've got, you've got more prep there. What's going on in Russia?
So going back to your point that you've made early on that this was all about regime change, there's two incidences that I wanted to bring up. These are both in the Stormer. In one of them, a neo-Nazi shot up a school. All right. And then in another one, you had a person shoot up an enlistment center in Russia. Now, and I'll go to the first article about the school shooting, but what I wanted to bring up is, you know, I think these shootings probably really did happen. I'm not going crisis actor on you, but what I'm saying is that it's feasible that, you know, agents could be in Russia that are doing these things to try to, sour the public on support for Putin. All right. And that this could be all part of regime change. So from stormer-daily.rw, a neo-Nazi school shooting in, Izhevsk province. Is he a Ukraine supporter? That's the question. And he quotes RT, 13 people have been killed and many others wounded in a shooting incident at a school in the city of Izhevsk in Russia's Urals region on Monday. According to the country's investigative committee, the male suspect was wearing a ski mask and a black t-shirt featuring Nazi symbols. They said that he died by suicide after the attack, and his identity is currently being established. At least seven of the victims were students at the school, which is school number 88, which is interesting, in the city, which has a population over 600,000. Two security guards and several teachers were also killed. The attack has left 21 people injured, including 14 children. The suspect was armed with two non-lethal pistols, which had been altered to fire live ordnance. So, and then we have another article that we'll get to in a minute about a shooting at an enlistment center, in the wake of, you know, Putin wanting to enlist more people into the army, for the conflict that has been further escalated by the West. So I'm asking, are these false flags? In other words, shootings that really happened, but they had a purpose of souring the public on support for Putin in this war. That's my question to you.
Yeah, and I guess the question is really, these people who did the shootings, were they somehow acting as agents of the West, the CIA, right?
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
And I guess the question is really, these people who did the shootings, were they somehow acting as agents of the West, the CIA, right?
I mean, yeah, we don't know if they were Ukrainian literal Ukrainian neo-Nazi that was an agent, or if they were an agent of the CIA or the Mossad. We don't know who they are, but it's almost irrelevant. The point is that what was their purpose? I guess that's what I'm asking.
I mean, so it's possible you could have people who are just legit. Well, okay, with the school shooting, that's just kind of like terrorism, right? That's just terrorism. And of course, we have our own school shootings. Now, there was a couple of very, very famous hostage type situations that took place in schools 20 years ago. That had to do with, at least in one case, with the Chechen separatists. And the Chechens were involved in a lot of terrorism. And, you know, so what is that related to? Excuse me. What's that related to? I don't know. Now, the other article, this is in the recruitment center in Irkutsk. I've been to Irkutsk. It's in Siberia. It's just... I guess it's just east, or just east of Lake Baikal. It's a very nice place, and it's medium sized. I don't know; they would have a few hundred thousand people there. It's very remote. This other place, Ijevsk, I've never heard of it before. It's in the Ural Mountains. That's pretty deep, but it's not as deep inside Russia as Irkutsk. With the shooting in the recruitment center in Irkutsk, now this the recruitment center, you know, recruiting, you're getting new people to enlist, but also this recruiting, what is being called a recruiting center, it may also have had the function of being like the reporting center for these National Guard people. What Putin did is called up the National Guard. They called up the reserves. He's not drafting new people. But of course, you know, and the reserves are mostly not going to Ukraine. The reserves are mostly going to other bases in Russia from which, you know, active duty people are being moved to Ukraine, and they're leaving vacancies in these bases within Russia, and then the reserves go to those bases. That's, for the most part, that's how it's working, I believe.
That's a little different. Real quick, mm-hmm. That's a little different from America's policy. Just to clarify, since I was in the military, my friends are, in America, you have so many active duty, and reserve and guardsmen stationed all over the globe that, like, any time that they want to send troops over, they will, in America, they will call up the guardsmen. And right. Like in Kentucky, they'll deploy them from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, which is borderline on Tennessee. And so that's a difference in Russia and America, I suppose, is that because America has the troops all over the globe, they have to call up their reservists and guardsmen to deploy.
So I was talking to Dr. Duke today, and, you know, speak of the devil, he rings me up, but I'm not going to take that call right now. I was telling him that I had a friend who was would have been a lieutenant colonel during the Iraq War, wound up retiring as a colonel. And although he had been in Iraq during the first Gulf, you know, Desert Storm in 1991, that whole Iraq War, he was never deployed to Iraq. And, you know, he was active duty the whole time. He was never deployed to Iraq. And yet Tulsi Gabbard, who was just Hawaii National Guard, had two deployments to Iraq. And I remember, you know, a local gym teacher going off to Iraq. You know, he's a gym teacher. They were really heavily relying on the reserves and the National Guard in Iraq a lot, you know, whereas the, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of active duty there, too. But there was, you know, but our... it seemed like the active duty who was stationed in these bases in Korea and Japan and Germany were staying put. I don't know, but whether they were staying put or not, we were certainly throwing a lot of active a lot of reserves right into the combat.
Yeah, it's a big issue because they have families and jobs and they have to leave their families. Whereas active duty, you're normally more conditioned to deployments. But I mean, anyway, back to this RT article, let me just read off a couple of paragraphs for the audience to see what's going on. From Russia Today, a chief recruitment officer was severely wounded after a man opened fire at a military recruitment center in the town of Ust-Lensk in the Irkutsk region in Russia's Siberia. On Monday morning, there were no other casualties in the attack. So apparently just the recruitment officer got hit. The incident occurred amidst the partial mobilization in Russia, which was announced by Russian President Vladimir Putin last week. According to Defense Ministry Sergei Shoigu, 300,000 reservists are going to be drafted amid the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. And so you're saying that according to what your knowledge is that these reservists are on the back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Did President Biden admit a border problem? I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The Biden administration has set the record for the number of apprehensions at the U.S.-Mexico border in a calendar year and in a fiscal year twice. So far, more than 2 million arrests have been made this fiscal year alone. Yesterday, Biden said, "We're working with Mexico and other countries to stop the flow." Oh, working with Mexico like the previous administration had done, but you undid? Things like the Remain in Mexico program that you have fought in court to stop since taking office? Is that how you're working with these other countries, by bringing back all of the processes and procedures that you called racist on the campaign trail? It does seem that Biden has finally admitted a problem. There must be an election coming up. Find more political commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Shoigu's 300,000 reservists are going to be drafted amid the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. And so you're saying that, according to what your knowledge is, that these reservists are going to backfill bases?
This is weird terminology. Are you drafting reservists? They're already in the reserves.
Yeah.
You're calling them up. I think the terminology that should be used is calling up. They're calling up reserves. Did we draft our reserves? Did we draft our national reserves? We called them up.
That's what made, I think, the article, even though it's from RT, maybe a little bit misleading. I don't know if it's on purpose, but because it's at a recruitment center, you know, you would think, okay, these are people that are drafting new people. That's immediately what a military-minded person would think, or even a civilian. So that was where the confusion sort of lied. But anyway, there's a video.
Mm-hmm.
The video captured the perpetrator shooting a chief enlistment officer, Alexander Alisiev, from point blank as the victim was delivering a speech before the recruits. The gunman shouted, "Everybody out," with all the people who were in the room rushing outside in panic. So it really is indicating that it's for new recruits, even though it probably is for, a center for guards and reservists to come together and be called in.
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, they're not drafting people. You know, we have the draft in the Vietnam War, and people who the draft is involuntary, and you know, sometimes you had people joining in order to avoid being drafted. In the Vietnam War, if you were drafted, you were going off to Vietnam. But if you joined, and this is the way it worked in the 60s and early 70s, if you joined the National Guard, the odds of you going to Vietnam were greatly reduced because they really weren't sending the National Guard to Vietnam. And so maybe some people remember this. This was an issue in the 2000 presidential campaign between Bush and Gore. The issue was, at the time of the Vietnam War, George Bush Sr. was a House member from Texas. And there were allegations that George Bush the Younger used his father's connections in order to get a very cush spot in the National Guard, which wasn't easy because a lot of people, in order to avoid Vietnam, were joining the National Guard. So it had gotten difficult to get into the National Guard, but he used political connections to get into the National Guard. It was kind of an issue. Some people were raising it. Gore himself wasn't trying to exploit it because at the time of the Vietnam War, Gore's father was a U.S. senator. And Gore was in the military. I don't know if he was drafted or if he joined. No, he wasn't drafted. Gore voluntarily joined, I guess it was the Army, because, as he explained, that if he didn't join the Army, it would have put his father in a difficult position. So he joined the Army, but also acknowledged that as the son of a U.S. senator, he got special treatment. And so his job in Vietnam, he did get sent to Vietnam, but his job was working as a reporter in the, I think, the Stars and Stripes newspaper, which is a relatively safe job. And he acknowledged that. So, but just getting back to it, in Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, getting into the National Guard was a way of getting out of combat. And of course, it was completely the opposite during the Iraq War. And in what's going on in Russia right now, it's not a draft. They're not taking people off the streets. Ukraine is drafting people. They've been drafting people all year. If Russia's not drafting people, they're calling up the guard, but they're probably welcoming or encouraging people to enlist, but there's not a draft.
Well, yeah, and at any rate, I was putting forth the theory that this shooter at the recruitment center, as well as the school shooter, I mean, it's not beyond the pale to say that they were Western agents of either CIA, Ukraine, or Mossad, or why not all three, right, who are trying to do these false flag shootings to try to sour the populace support for Putin. And as the article pointed out, this is amid Putin's, you know, calling up of the reservists and the guardsmen in his country. So, I mean, even if it was organic, I mean, isn't that coincidental? It's a huge coincidence that this would happen and be publicized right after Putin announced his, calling up of the guard. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and to further the idea that it plausibly could be, CIA, Mossad, Ukraine backed, it happens. These two incidents happen at the exact same time as the Nord Stream gas pipelines. Both of them, not just one, but both are sabotaged. And so, both of these incidents that we're talking about in the school and in the recruitment center, could very easily be a form of foreign-backed terrorism.
So speaking of the Nord Stream, I mean, you're alluding to the fact that the sabotaging of both Nord Streams, I mean, could be Western-backed. I mean, we don't think it's Russia. So, I mean, what is the purpose? Like, Are they wanting Europeans to freeze in this war? I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, how do they think they're going to retain the support of the populace in this war if they're not going to have heat for the winter? I mean, surely they think the populace will turn on them. I would think.
Well, you know, it's, maybe it's a stretch, maybe it's a long shot, but how many shots do they really have? And so with those two pipelines there, there's always the prospect that, you know, some of these new governments that are coming in, the new government in Sweden, new government in Italy, you know, more or less nationalist governments, they might say, the heck with this. We need our energy. Let's make a deal with Russia. Well, now they cannot do that. Even if they want to, the energy, you know, the energy is not going to come.
So that would be the motivation for Western powers to sabotage the gas lines then, to right. keep them making an energy deal with Russia.
That would be the motivation. Yeah.
And it's not far-fetched when you think about, like, how they're going on with the sanctions, even though the sanctions are hurting the West. So it's not far-fetched to think they'll just keep hurting the people, you know, in their push to stop Russia from allying with Europe. That seems to be the big thing, right? I mean, if regime change is number one, then number two goal would be to stop Russia from forming an alliance with Europe in the Eurasia thing. That seems to be the two main goals here. And they're willing to sacrifice people's livelihoods to do that.
I mean, during the Trump administration, you had Trump. I mean, he was pushing Angela Merkel very hard regarding the Nord Stream 2. Here, this pipeline, it was built. It was completed. But he didn't want it turned on. And, you know, that's not to his credit. But that was a big issue. And he was saying that you're going to become dependent on Russia. Well, too dependent on Russia. And now, you know, in his campaign speeches, he says, I warned her you'd be too dependent on Russia. Well, the reason that the German industry is going to collapse and that the German people are going to be cold isn't because they were getting gas, that they agreed to get gas from Russia. It's because of the war. It's because it's because of the sanctions that they imposed on Russia. The Russians didn't turn off the gas. It's the sanctions. So.
Well, yeah, probably the original, and we discussed this last night a bit. Let me just reiterate to make sure I'm correct. I mean, the purpose of Nord Stream 2 was to go around the Ukraine, which had a Western friendly and anti-Russian government installed in 2014. And so Russia was like, okay, we'll just go around them. And we can make energy deals with Europe through Nord Stream 2. That seems to me what the whole goal of it was. Which is why the West pressured Trump into not supporting Nord Stream 2. Because all of this was anticipated. Because I guess Ukraine is a... And you're muted, by the way, if you want to talk. Ukraine is basically
about that.
The chokehold, yeah. So what do you think of that? I mean, Russia wanted Nord Stream 2 to be able to negotiate with Europe and to go around the Ukraine, which had a anti-Russian government installed in 2014.
Yeah. So there's always been a worry within Washington. And when I say within Washington, I mean, to a large extent, even when we're talking about 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, to a large extent, it still means Jews. The idea of Germany and Russia being allied or even just interdependent. The Jews have a lot of enemies, right? They have a lot of enemies. And the Germans are their enemies. They have tried to destroy Germans on multiple occasions. And they're doing a good job of it. And the Russians have been their enemies. This is nothing new. This goes back to the Tsarist days. And then the Arabs are their enemies. And the Iranians are their enemies. And the white supremacists are their enemies. So there's been this, they don't want Russia and Germany to cooperate, especially something that's going to be mutually beneficial. And, you know, the trade relations, the economic relations between Germany and Russia have a great potential. They can be very mutually beneficial. You know, Germany gets a supply of energy, a cheap and reliable supply of energy, and Russia gets good, you know, hard currency. It gets a steady revenue source and access to German markets and German products. You know, trade in general, trade is can be a win-win. And I mean, it's supposed to be. And if you go to economics classes in universities taught by Jews, they'll tell you that trade is a win-win. And here they are. There's been this desperate attempt to try to thwart trade between, you know, Russia and Germany. Also, you go back to 2013. There was this effort to thwart trade between Ukraine and Russia, right? So, you know, I think there's a really distinct pattern here, and you know, I hate being a broken record and always saying Jews, but I don't think you can understand this without considering the Jewish power aspect of it.
Well, here's a question, and it may be a tough one, but it's one that I can't get a good answer to. If this continues, if things continue as they are, especially with the West sabotaging Nord Stream 1 and 2, as Europeans freeze going into November, how do the Jewish-dominated elites, how do they think they're going to manage this backlash? There is going to be a backlash. When you're not able to heat your homes, look, I don't know. I'm asking you, like, what do they have planned? How do they plan to manage this backlash? Do they really think they're going to bring Russia to heel before the winter?
Yeah. I mean, and while you may ask, I mean, that's the thing. To me, it seems as if, you know, it's like the teenager who needs to study for his exam, but he just keeps putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And a lot of what they're doing just seems like putting off the inevitable, but making it worse when it finally comes. Because
well, maybe have,
I mean, you're going to have cold people, unemployed people, people who are losing their savings, who are having trouble making ends meet. And they're going to know that it's because of, you know, the sanctions that the EU, for instance, the EU imposed, required of them. And I think you're going to have country after country in Europe, where you're going to have governments fall. I mean, we've already got Italy. The chicken Italy, she's kind of hot, but, she's not completely based, but she's going to be pushing some issues, and she does have Berlusconi and Matteo Salvini. She's got both of them who are going to be in the coalition, and they're much more based. You got stuff on a new government in Sweden, and you're going to get more and more of this, and there's going to be more EU skepticism. There, you might get some countries leaving the EU or trying to leave. This is going to have immense repercussions. And, you know, meanwhile, the Chinese and the Russians are creating all of these alternative institutions, alternative international institutions. So I think that the thing is, you know, you can ask why are they doing this? The prospects for success aren't very great. The risks are enormous. But I think when you look at the people who are involved in making the decisions and look at them at a personal level, I'm just going to get back to what I was saying earlier. And maybe it was on your show, but if Victoria Nuland, I mean, she's willing to risk 10% risk of nuclear war in order to prolong her career by another 6 months, or, you know, for other people, the calculus might be, well, I'm, for a 20% chance of my political survival, I'm going to, you know, let my people freeze this summer or whatever. I mean, there are a lot of, to even if you're going to say you have these big master plans, you have individuals who are operating. You also have individuals who are operating on, you know, very personal considerations. And a lot of these people, there's just no exit ramp. There's no exit ramp. There's no way that Zelensky can back away from this. He can't. Same with Victoria Nuland, really, the State Department. Although Victoria Nuland's not nearly as much out in front. You know, she's not nearly as visible. But when
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Same with Victoria Nuland, really, the State Department. Although Victoria Nuland's not nearly as much out in front, you know, she's not nearly as visible. But when you cannot admit such a huge mistake, so all you can do is deny it.
Well, I guess the only one of the many historical precedents that we would have for this is Weimar Germany. You had the Jewish elite in Weimar, you know, pushing transsexual surgeries, homosexuality, drug use. The economy was in ruins. And they were pushing this anyway, not even in, like, thinking about a backlash and probably just living in the moment. And then what happened? You had the backlash, and that was called the National Socialists and Hitler. So I guess that's a historical precedent on a microcosm of what's happening in Europe overall today. They're just living in this decadence, not thinking about the backlash. What is the backlash going to be? Could it be, you know, the Russia-Eurasian movement, you know, where Europe just basically throws their politicians out and allies with Russia so they can have, you know, goods and gas and heat? You know, is that going to be the backlash? Just like the backlash in Weimar was the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and that's a very good comparison. And that may very well exactly be what it is. It might be an effective end to the EU. It might be an effective end to to NATO, to a lot of other institutions that had been built up, to the American Empire. And of course, you know, should we really mourn the loss of the American Empire?
Oh, no. And I mean, a lot of people talk about Eurasia, and, you know, Alexander Dugin comes to mind in the discussion. I mean, I do not advocate for some sort of blending of the races of Europe and Asia. I'm not advocating for that, but what I would advocate for would be for Russia to make a natural alliance. And it's a natural geopolitical alliance. And it's something that William from Montana spoke of very often, the late William. Because they have a natural land, and geopolitically, they should be allied. And if that alliance happens, it would make a very effective counterbalance to America, to the American Empire, and it would keep the American Empire in check. You know, whereas for the last, 70 years, the American Empire has pretty much run rampant over the globe. Yeah. And just exercise its will over everything and everyone. And so if you had a Eurasian alliance politically, I'm not talking about racially, but politically, that would be a good counterbalance. And that could be what we see, the outcome of this being, is that Russia forming a natural alliance with Europe and NATO basically dying where it stands.
Well, we can only dream, can't we? I hope that's the case, because it's not just that the emperor is naked, but that the emperor is running around molesting our children. So, but I want to thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. The time flies, my friend. Stay classy.
I'll do my best, but it's not easy. And I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Evil Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you